This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Oh, that new doctor is drop dead gorgeous.
Please, he's just another Ivy League educated surgeon with good hair.
No, he's different.
Nurses, we got a classy motorhome with a detached driver's side mirror. Meet me in the OR.
Stat.
Right away, doctor.
No, she's on break. I'll handle this one.
Oh, you conniving little...
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this July 10th, Sunday, 2022. And I'm going to check my equipment here because it don't sound right. But I'm going to adjust it a little bit. Loud and clear. Okay, very good. Now, the title of the message tonight is We Have Come Full Circle from Genesis 6. We have come full circle from Genesis 6. And that's where we start tonight in Genesis chapter 6. And so we start in verse 1. And it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all of which they chose. Now, here, these sons of God were fallen angels. And I know there's others that teach that, no, indeed they're not. They were the sons of Seth. Well, no, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible teaches very clearly that these were fallen angels. And as we go through this message, we'll take a close look at that. Now, when it says here, these fallen angels, the sons of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives. Now, when it says they took them wives, boy, that's exactly what it meant, because it wasn't like it is today where you propose to a woman and you ask her to marry you. No, they didn't do that. They wanted whichever ones they wanted, no matter who the woman belonged to. They took anybody's wife, as many as they wanted, because these guys were like brute beasts. They were much larger, much more powerful than men. And he goes on to say here, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now God was painful here, or I should say he was, well, patient, very patient. He, in Noah's day, he allowed Noah to preach repentance for 120 years. These people heard Noah preaching to change their sinful ways. So God was showing tremendous patience here with these people. Now, here again, their lives ended with the flood. And so we go on to read, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. So when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men, were men of old, men of renown. These were Nephilim. These were Nephilim. Now, what happened there? Well, these were not complete human. These offsprings were, their DNA was changed. They were not completely human. And so, and we'll get into how that applies to today. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Now here, when we say that it repented God, it's not the same as it is with men. In other words, God did not make a mistake. God did not do anything that he was sorry for. In fact, we find out in 1 Samuel 15:29, you know, God's immutable. He does things the same way. And the reason he gets them right every time. Now, he's expressing here sorrow for what the people chose to do, the path that they chose to take, because he gave them a free will. In other words, God did not force his will upon these people. He gave them a free will, and he was sorrowful for the path that they chose to take. He goes on to say, and it grieved him in his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, as we look at this here, the entire population had been contaminated by the demon seed, or as we call it, the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. And here now, God had preserved Noah and the eight. And so here, he kept them, and he showed mercy. Now, at that time, most of your theologians and most of your historians estimated that the population of the earth was about 8 billion at that time, which we're approaching now. And it's an interesting thing because here, you know, God, again, being immutable, does things the same way. Now, he had kept a remnant there that were not contaminated or polluted by the demon seed. Today, we have another demon seed out there, and that is what they call the vaccinations. These are, many of them change the DNA, and they've admitted it. These people that have had all of these patents, folks, they've admitted that they changed the DNA. And so that the people that are taking a number of these shots, they're not all the same, but the people that are taking have, and according to Big Pharma itself with their patents, have become less than human. They become less than human because that their DNA has been changed and they're no longer considered to be human. And again, even Big Pharma has admitted this. And so here, and it repented me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Well, that wasn't mean that he was sinless. In fact, we know that Noah had, if we read here, over in 9:20, Genesis 9:20, we see that Noah sinned. And so he goes on here. And he said, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, folks, this is exactly, again, we have gone full circle from Genesis chapter 6. Today the earth is corrupted. I mean, it's corrupted. And the violence, and we have such a corrupt government, such a lawless, here in America, such a totally, completely lawless, corrupt government. Not just the government. The news media is completely corrupted. The so-called education system is completely corrupted. Hollywood is completely corrupted. The apostate church, the vast majority of those in the pulpit today are not even saved. The apostate church has gone completely corrupted. What we call the Democratic Party, which is today the Democratic Communist Collective, is completely and totally corrupted. And so here, the Lord said, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He goes on to say, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion with which thou shalt make it. The length of it of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make into the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring the flood waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh therein, and the breath of life, and under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, here, we have the ark there in Kentucky, the ark that Ken Ham has made, and it is the actual size to this. It is built to this, to these very specifications. I've been down there to see this ark three times. It is the world's largest wooden structure. It is huge. And I mean, it took them a while to build this thing. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it is, well, I think it's one of the wonders of the world, this ark here. And you can easily see how he could have put two of every kind of animal on that ark. It is so huge. I mean, it is just absolutely huge. And so here, he goes on. And he says, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh there wherein there is breath of life from under heaven. And everything in it shall die, and the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, and thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth, after the kind too of every sort shall come unto thee, and keep them alive. Now, the word kind means bloodline. Bloodline. You know, you often hear today about racism. Well, the truth of it is, God only made one race. They call it humankind. I mean that all human have one bloodline, starting with Adam and Eve. And here, what he's talking about after their kind, for example, all cats, whether it be a tomcat, whether it be a bobcat, whether it be a lion, they all have one bloodline. Where it comes to dogs, whether it be a coyote, whether it be a fox, whether it be a chihuahua or a St. Bernard, they all have one bloodline. And that goes on, too, with all the different animals. Whether it's a horse, or it's a zebra, or it's a mule, or it's a donkey, they have one bloodline. And so here, and again, like we said, all humans come from the same bloodline. Now, he goes on to say, and take thou unto thee of all the food that thou hast eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for thee for food to thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so, here now, I want to go over to, because again, there are those out there that are teaching that these are not fallen angels, that these are actually sons of Seth took the daughters of men, which makes absolutely no sense. But let's go and see what God's Word, the Bible, actually has to say. And so we go over and we pick it up over in 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, starting with verse 4 through 10, we read this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteousness dwell among them, in seeing and hearing his vexed righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh are in the lusts of the uncleanness, and despise government. Now, he makes a number of points here. One, when he's talking about here the angels that sinned, well, they were cast down upon the earth. And as we just read, they violated God's laws. They were not to have any communication with human women, but they did. They were disobedient. And then when the flood came, they were cast down into the pit. It says here, the chains put them in, delivered them in chains of darkness, and reserved them unto judgment, and spared not the old world. Now, most of your theologians believe that here, remember, it's very, very, very specific here that God says he destroyed all the life on earth. But remember now, when the floods came, all of a sudden, now we have oceans. We have oceans. And here, in those oceans, there were creatures. And many believe these fallen angels were able to go and to survive in the water. And this is where you get all of these legends today of these sea monsters and sea creatures out there today. And that's what many believe. Now, I realized that the oceans were still on Earth. But here it says on land, all of those that are on land, that he killed, all of those that were on dry land, nothing survived. And so here, as we see this, we see that these were fallen angels, and also he talked about them chiefly that walk after the flesh, and lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Now, when he's talking about despising government, he's talking about actual legitimate government. They despise actual legitimate government. So you say, well, what is actual legitimate government? Well, in Romans 13, people totally will take that to spin, twist, and pervert it. The prissy preachers, those that have not the courage to preach the truth, because they actually fear the government more than man. And so they preach that the Bible teaches we must obey a government, even a very corrupt government. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. But they do that out of fear of Caesar, of the government. Now, what does the Bible actually teach? Well, the Bible actually teaches in Romans 13, as it does in Genesis 9, that here, legitimate government is government that is compliance with the laws of God. God gave us, he gave us the divine institution of human government during the Noahic Covenant, and he made it very, very, very clear that legitimate government was only government that would be in compliance with God's laws. If they were not in compliance with God's laws, they were not illegitimate. Now, the government we have in this country has lost all legitimacy. It's got no authority at all, none. It's got power. It's got power, just like any criminal with a gun's got power. But they've got no legitimacy, no credibility. And you don't have to, you folks out there, you are not required to acknowledge that there's any legitimacy at all. In fact, it would be wrong for you to do that. And we see today, we take a look at the Biden regime. And in every single area, it is as corrupt gets. And now, I wanted to say this too. And again, I'll repeat this because people out there today, the far left, the Antichrist system, the enemies of God and his church will try to dishearten you. And you hear people saying, and I hear people that should never, ever, ever say such thing. Especially, you know, professing Christians, pastors too, that look, we're surrounded. Everything around us, and we're outnumbered. We take a look at how corrupt the government is anti-Christian. We take a look at the FBI. They got dirty cops out there. Look at the Department of Justice. There's no justice there. Why, it's as corrupt gets. That Department of Justice is and many times more corrupt. In fact, usually more corrupt than the people they're going after. And they'll say, well, the FBI is against us too. And the CIA, all of the left-wing media, all of what they call the mainstream media, they're all against us. The NEA, the so-called teachers, the education system, it's totally anti-Christian. They're against us. Everywhere you turn, the corrupt woke corporations out there, all of the big corporations, they're totally anti-Christian. They have become fully anti-Christian, anti-Christ. Well, when you take a look at Big Pharma, you know, the medical association has turned totally against God and his people. And so some people get disheartened. They say, Pastor, we're surrounded. Well, folks, let me explain something to you. None of those organizations that I just meant present a problem to God at all. He's not impressed with any of them. I mean, if you magnified all of their power together 1,000 times or more, it would still not affect God. God is on the throne. God is in complete control. You know, you're free to believe whatever you want to believe, but the reality is that God is on the throne. He's in complete control. And those entities that think that they can challenge God, and by the way, he gives a warning not to touch his anointed. He gives a warning. Now, God is long-suffering. He's very patient, but he's not slacked when it comes to dishing out the punishment that the wicked have coming. And so here, don't allow the opposition to dishearten you. Remember, God is a majority of one. I want to go over to Jude now as we continue to take a look at. And in Jude verses 5 through 7, as we see this, I want to read. I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterwards, destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, why, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering a vengeance of eternal fire. So here Jude gives three examples, three very, very clear examples of rebellion. One, the children of Israel, although they were delivered from Egypt, they refused to trust God and to enter into the promised land. And we'll read that over in Numbers 14, 26 to 39, in fact. Number two, the angels, although they were once pure, holy, and living in God's presence, some gave in to pride and joined Satan to rebel against God. And we just read that. And here, number three, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the inhabitants were so full of sin, the guide wiped them off the face of the earth. Now, folks, remember that very same sin, LGBTQ. This is the very same sin that this corrupt, this totally morally degenerate, this totally morally depraved government that we have in this country, it's in total depravity. This is one of the things they push. Not only do they push killing babies, Joe Biden, when he said, and he was out there trying to make his case for more abortion, and he's talking about a 10-year-old girl getting pregnant. Listen, Joe, 10-year-old girls get pregnant by pedophiles, Joe. By pedophiles, Joe Biden. Anyhow, here, pushing sodomy, again, pushing sodomy, they're pushing it everywhere you turn in the entire public school system. This is why we ask people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. They have gone totally corrupted. It's filled with depravity. Now, just recently, out in Seattle, you had a bunch of totally depraved, less than animals, worse than animals, a bunch of fat, old, naked men, naked bare, riding their bicycles down the street. And you had these absolute worthless parents standing there with their little children, allowing their children to watch this. And I'm going to tell you, these people that did that, They, you know, I'm going to tell you, God, well, God loves the little children, and he certainly does not love the parents that have done that, that allowed their little children to look at these pathetic, reprobate, depraved sodomites. By the way, folks, remember this. The very first time the word abomination was used wasn't for Barack Obama. It was used for sodomites. Sodomites. Which God says is a horrible, terrible sin. And you saw how he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the LGBTQ of their day. And this is what the woke corporations are embracing, what NBC, ABC, CBS, all these so-called mainstream media, they embrace this, including Fox News. The apostate church, okay, which has gone totally satanic, they embrace this horrible, horrible, horrible sin of sodomy. Now, I want to go over now to Numbers because, again, there are those that say, well, there weren't really giants. Now, let's go back. Steve Quayle had written a book, a wonderful book, a while back, some years ago, where he did a lot of research, a whole lot of research, and the title was Giants in the Land. And he went by, and he went to all of the many, many skeletons that were excavated. The skeletons were excavated, and these were that were going back to the flood. And we saw that the average height of men back in Adam's day, the average height of a man was about 14 feet tall. Remember, there was a canopy. The oxygen was pure. People lived, it was set up where Adam could live there and Eve could live forever. And the estimated height of a woman was between 10 and 12 feet. Now remember, Adam lived for over 600 years, almost 700 years. Now, here, remember, back in those days, in Eve's days, these women could give birth for about 400 years or more. They could give birth for, you know, that's a long time to be having babies. And that's how come, and by the way, there was no prohibition against incest. There was no incest, I wouldn't call that then, until we go to Leviticus, because the bloodline was pure. And Cain, in fact, had married a number of his own sisters and had offsprings by his own sisters. And so here, as we take a look at that, and then we see that the giants, there were giants in those days too, and some of the skeletons that have been excavated, and here, Steve Quayle has the documentation, they're documented. The largest one ever found was a skeleton would have been about 35 feet high. This was a huge giant. And believe it or not, they actually had, like, hair. And the hair was red. And these people had, or these creatures had, these Nephilim, had 6 fingers and 6 toes. And they had fangs like an animal, like a dog. And they were cannibals, according to what was documented, the research that was done. And so here now, we take a look at that. And I want to go over to Numbers 13. And we'll see that, yes, in fact, indeed, there were accounts in the Bible of giants in the land. So in Numbers chapter 13, starting with verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone out to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and they were, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, here, remember, the Promised Land had called, also was called the Land of Canaan, and was magnificent. Now, as the 12 spies discovered, the Bible often calls the land flowing with milk and honey. And so, actually, the land was relatively small. It was about 150 miles long and about 60 miles wide. And here, the lush hillsides were covered with figs and dates and nut trees. And it was the land God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Nate. And the fruit, like the grapes, the clusters of grapes were huge. It would take a couple of men to carry one. But here was the point. You had 12 spies went in there. No. Out of the 12, only two trusted in the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. They had no problem whatsoever trusting in the Lord. They weren't afraid. The righteous are as bold as lions. In fact, Caleb was in his 80s and when he was drawing his sword and fighting with the enemy out there. And so here now with the Canaanites. And so here they're saying, well, we can't go in there. These guys are giants. And they look at their walls. He tells you about as they went into Paran and Kadesh, and that the cities, that the fortified cities that the spies had talked about, really, they were surrounded by walls that is they were 20 feet high, or 20 feet thick, actually 25 feet high. These walls were 20 feet thick and 25 feet high, where the armies could set themselves up on top of that to defend the cities. And here, some of the inhabitants said that the spies were men who were 7 to 9 feet tall. And so the Israelites felt like grasshoppers in their sight. Look, I don't care how big they are. If God tells you to go in and he says, I will be with you, to go in and conquer and occupy the land, just listen to him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to obey God. Folks, God doesn't have a problem with giants. Giants present not even a little bit of a challenge to God. Now here, those cowardly men who had no faith in God, who didn't trust in God, well, that cost them dearly. I mean, that really cost them dearly. They had to wander around through the wilderness for 40 years until they all died off. But let's go now over to Deuteronomy chapter 1 as we take a look at more evidence of the giants there. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command. Now here Moses is reminding Israel of their rebellion against God, their lack of faith. He's reminding them of he's reminding them why they have all the problems that they have. Here, he retold the story of the spy mission into the Promised Land. When the spies returned with reports of giants and walled cities, and the people were afraid to move and ahead and began to complain about their predicament. But the minority part of Joshua and Caleb pointed out that the land was fertile. The enemy was vulnerable. and that God was on their side. That's all they needed to know. That's all they needed to know. And folks, again, the enemy today is using the same tactic on people here today. They want to frighten you. They want to dishearten you. But God's word, the Bible, tells us that we are more than conquerors in Christ. That we have a victory in the Lord Jesus. It tells us that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Why, it was that belief, that faith and that belief that gave George Washington, when he started out, he had 500 men, and everyone laughed, thought this was going to end fast. Went up against an army of 50,000, and everyone thought, well, folks, this battle is not going to last long. But let me tell you, those men believed in God. They had faith in God. And because of their faith in God, in fact, a number of the British officers said, apparently, God is on their side. Apparently, God is on the side of the Patriots. And therefore, listen, God is a majority of one. You don't have to fear. In fact, you should not fear. And I know I just went through that whole litany of what we're up against. But folks, they don't present a problem to God. Now, I'm not telling you that what we're up against is going to be easy. No, we've got some rough times coming. But we have our marching orders. We are to run to the battle against this corrupt world. Now, here, there are those that have argued and said, well, now, they could not be angels. They had to be sons of Seth. They could not be angels. And they've taken a couple passages from Scripture, and they've totally misrepresented them. Let's take a look at those passages and see. And here, as we go over, let's go over to Matthew, starting with Matthew chapter, and I'll get there in a minute, Matthew chapter 22. What do we read? Verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said to them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they are neither married nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, folks, here, what is he telling us? Now, listen to this. But are given as the angels of God in heaven. The angels of God in heaven. Now, the angels of God in heaven. Well, they don't marry and they don't cohabitate. But now, the angels, the fallen angels, were not cast down upon the earth for being obedient to God. They were cast down. And listen, if they didn't obey God while they were in heaven, certainly they're not going to obey him when they get to the earth. And they didn't. They transgressed his laws. They did exactly what they were told not to do. And it cost them big time, even today. They're locked in darkness, in chains of darkness. And so here, the key word there is angels of God in heaven. By the way, people often ask me, well, will we know each other? Yeah, you're going to know each other. You're going to know your spouses in heaven. But it's going to be like more like it is today with your church family. You're going to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. And even as the families that you were brought into with your siblings, you'll have a similar type of relationship, but not exactly like there are so many today, because in a lot of families today, and we'll look at that, there's division. There's terrible division, and that's done because of those that have received Christ, have become the children of God, and brothers and sisters in the Lord, will be at enmity, as we know, with those that have rejected God and have become the children of Satan. In fact, they're the serpent's seed. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, we read in verse 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor give it in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." Again, I think this comes back where he says, you do err because you know not the Scriptures. Those that keep telling you, and they try to use this passage, somehow they totally overlook the fact that the Lord is referring to those angels that were in heaven, that we will be like the angels in heaven when we get there, not like those angels on earth. And again, the fallen angels, they did not obey God. Now, in fact, what we were just talking about, let's go over to Luke chapter 12, for example. In Luke chapter 12, and I'll get there in a minute. In Luke chapter 12, we read this, verses 49 through 53. "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to baptize with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son shall be divided against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law." So he's telling you that his children will be at total enmity, just as we see in Genesis 3:15, where the seed of the woman will be at total enmity with the seed of the serpent. And today, and more, in fact, the fact that, and I'm sure it's everybody out there listening to me tonight knows an example of somebody where I know in my own family that we have those that are unbelievers, not in my immediate family, but the family I grew up with, and those that are not saved, the unsaved, and they're clueless. They don't even realize that they are the children of Satan. They don't realize that. In fact, if you were to tell them that, they become offended. Why? Well, because they're biblically illiterate. But another thing that has caused, and this is what, when we take a look, that we've come full circle from Genesis 6, that is causing a lot of division within families out there, is the kill shot, what they call the vaccine. People that have taken the vax don't trust those that refuse it, and those that refuse it don't trust those that have taken it. And we see that our very, very, very corrupt and an impotent military run by Biden, Austin, and Milley are trying to force 60,000 U.S. servicemen, 60,000 U.S. servicemen to take the poison, the kill shot, which they refuse to take that because they refuse to take it. They're being thrown out of the military now, when already we have a weakened military that's been weakened severely by these treasonous men. These treasonous men have weakened our military severely. And they're doing all that they can to do that, to totally make our military totally ineffective. Now, I want to go over to Matthew 24. And back to Matthew chapter 24, for an example, we read and it don't look like I'm going to be able to finish this whole message tonight, but maybe I can do it during the week. In Matthew 24, verses 36 to 41, we read, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now he's talking about, this is the second coming. This is not the rapture of the church. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, again, I want to reemphasize, listen, this is not the rapture. This is dealing with the nation of Israel. This is also the second coming here. "Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which that what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now here we read also, we see that there's a difference here. The rapture of the church, the Lord Jesus comes and he takes his people. The Lord Jesus, he comes very swiftly, and this will be, the second coming also will be swift. But the Lord Jesus comes and he takes his people. In here you see that he will send these angels out to gather up his people from one end of the earth to the other. In fact, we read that he says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man coming in the heavens, and he shall gather all the tribes of the earth to mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, in heaven of power, great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from all four corners of the earth." See? And so there's a difference here. The rapture of the church is for the church. This here is dealing with the nation of Israel itself. Now, we have come full circle, and when the fallen angels took girls and women for their wives, a new kind of creature was born, folks. This new creature, the Nephilim, was neither human nor angel. The DNA was not human. The rebellious spirit of the contaminated caused God to destroy them with the earth, Genesis 6:13. Now today, the gene pool has once again been contaminated by Big Pharma, where the DNA of humans has been changed in many cases to non-human, according to many of the biologists, many of the MDs and the coroners out there. As in the days of Noah, they were marrying and given in marriage, and they were not often And these marriages were not often consensual. You know, the Nephilim could take the wives of men by force, however they wanted. Today, that first divine institution has been totally corrupted by the same kind of being whose hearts are evil continuously. And that, too, is Genesis 6:13. The earth is filled with violence. God has kept Noah and his family from the contamination. God is keeping a remnant from the contamination today. Again, we saw 60,000 military have, like us, refused the contamination. God is immutable. He will never change. The estimated population of the earth at the time of the flood, again, was about 8 billion people, in which we are approaching that number today. And so we're out of time for tonight. I didn't get enough time to finish this entire message, but maybe we can do it during the week. And so here, at this time, the most important part. See, you're going to be either a child of God, you're going to be either the seed of the woman or the seed of the serpent, folks. And believe me, you don't want the latter. And here, again, like we say every single night, because the last thing we want you to hear, we want you to remember when you leave here and think about is you're standing with the Lord Jesus. You see, there's no in-between. You're saved or you're lost. There's no in-between. And you can, like I said, you're welcome. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But we deal with reality here. And God's word is reality. It's the greatest source of reality, and it's the most authoritative source of information that ever existed. As Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And so if you're listening to me tonight and you have not made that decision, when you hear the preacher give the invitation, he's just a messenger. God is telling you one more time, to repent. He's reminding you that the Lord Jesus took your place on that cross, but you have to repent and you have to receive that gift that he is willing to give you. If you will do that, if you will pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of the sins, then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, completely and totally, without any reservations. God will always honor that commitment. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will become the Holy Spirit will come into you. And that's, you've got God's word on it. Now it's that or a fiery hot eternity. And so, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. If you have not made that decision to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, get her done right away. How much time do I have?
We got about a minute.
Okay. And so, I just want to remind you that no one has ever, ever regretted receiving eternal life. No one's ever regretted receiving, but there's a whole lot of people right now in hell that had wished that they had chosen the Lord Jesus. There's a whole lot of them out there, folks, and you don't want to be a part of that. So again, as I'm telling you tonight, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. If you have not made that decision, remember, Christ died in your place. He did it for you. And so call upon his name and make your salvation sure. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.